Well, we are just past that time that we celebrate together the glory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And rightfully we should celebrate. We serve a risen Savior. We thank God for Him. However, for many in our culture, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is simply a myth. They do not believe it to be true that He bodily rose from the grave on the third day. There are others who might give mental assent to this truth, but they treat it as a dusty footnote in ancient history. May I say to you, I think there are Christian people in all of our churches and outside of our churches who live as if He were dead. I don't say that to speak ill of the bride of Christ. I say that because there have been times in my own life where I did not reflect resurrection truth. And yet I stand before you today convinced that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has profound implications for every life. Anytime you study God's Word, anytime you read God's Word, whether it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 24 minutes, or whatever length of time, you ought to always leave time for this question. So what? So what? You see, we are oftentimes better with information than transformation. We're better at study than we are at obedience. James said, be doers of the word. So it is perfectly appropriate when you read biblical truths to stop and say, so what? What are the implications in my life? How does it matter? I have a message for you today with a title. If you're a note taker, in the right hand side at the back, I think, of your folder would be a place for you to take notes. The title of the message today is this: Resurrection Implications. Let me say it again. Resurrection Implications. This message is designed to answer the so what question. If He's alive, so what? If He is risen from the dead, so what? Now to do that, we're going to 1 Corinthians 15. I love all of the Bible, but there are certain chapters that call to me, and I return to them often. This is one of those. It provides for us as much information as we find anywhere in God's Word about life, death, resurrection, second coming of Christ, what we're to do about it, so what, all of that, all of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, as your Bible open to that passage, I want to read in a moment, starting with verse 12. But let me just tell you, verses 1 through 11 speak to the reality, the fact of the resurrection. But when we get to verse 12, Paul does something I think that's kind of interesting. There is a type of proof where you offer a statement and then you give statements to prove that. There is another kind of proof that's an indirect proof, and that is you start with the opposite of what you're trying to prove and show that those implications from that premise lead nowhere. Lead to something that is clearly not true. Now, it is that method that Paul's going to use. See, here's what's going to happen. Listen to this. Paul's going to start with this premise. There is no resurrection from the dead. Now, is that what he believes? Absolutely not. But he's going to show his hearers, his readers, what the implications of that are. But when he gets to the end of this that I'll read, he gives his conclusion, which is the biblical conclusion, and we believe the correct conclusion. Now, what I'm going to do in my message today is read it, of course, just as he gave it. But then I'm also going to do it backwards. I'm going to start with his conclusion and answer this question. What are the implications of the resurrection for my life? Resurrection implications. You ready? Here we go. Verse 12, chapter 15. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Now I'm not through, but just for a moment, look up here. What if that were true? No resurrection, no risen Christ, empty faith, foolish preaching, dead loved ones, dead and gone, end of story. What if it were true? Well, I will tell you, my friend, if it were true, I would be the saddest man you've ever seen. I'm ready now for verse 20. Are you? But now Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Now you understand that changed everything. Everything that he said up to that point was under the proposition, the premise, that there was no resurrection. And it was a miserable thing. And then he gets to verse 20 and he said, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Christ is risen from the dead. And he's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, his resurrection guarantees their future resurrection. So what I want to do is just say this to you. He is risen, so what? And I want to answer that from the text. If you're a note taker, you get that note sheet out of your service folder and let's go. So what when it comes to the resurrection? So what when it comes to the message, He is risen? So what? Number one, He is risen. So look to Him and live. We're talking now about faith. It seems to me everybody has faith. It may be simply faith for this world. It may be faith in yourself and your intellect. It may be faith in your grandma or your grandpa. I don't know. But everybody has some kind of faith. But listen to me when I say this. Many people have faith that is flawed. Faith that is not based upon reality. Faith that ultimately will be empty and futile and leave you in your sins. I was reading yesterday and I brought it. It was in our state Baptist paper, The Pathway, but it's a quote from the New York Times, reasonably reputable newspaper. It's a quote from an interview. New York's former mayor, Michael Bloomberg. You recognize the name probably. He spoke to the New York Times about his legacy. Specifically, he spoke about his work on gun control. I'm going to read it to you. Quote, "I am telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I'm heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close." You know what I did when I read that? I prayed for him. Because he's walking in darkness, isn't he? That's not the way it works. Friend, there is one way to heaven, and that's through the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. That's the only way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Listen, I'm asking you, upon what or whom is your faith founded? What's the ground of your faith? When you come to the end of life's journey, you walk through that door into the darkness of the unknown for many. What is your faith then? And here's what I would say to you. Listen to me. Here's what I would say to you. I'm going to trust the one who died and rose from the grave. That's the one I'm going to put my faith in. That's the one I'm going to put my confidence in. He is risen. So look to Him and live. There's an Old Testament story behind that, by the way. You remember it? It's when Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai. He got the Ten Commandments. He came back down. The people had already fallen into what? Idolatry. Gross immorality. He threw down the Ten Commandments. They smashed everywhere. And God began to judge the people. And then, as they were dying from the bites of the fiery serpents that were among them, God gave a remedy. And He said to Aaron, I think, "Make a bronze serpent and raise that bronze serpent up on a pole. And listen to this. Everyone who looks will live." So that when you get to John 3:14, Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Friend, listen to me. Here is what it means to me to say He is risen. It means that I look to Him and live. Now, a different life. But then, forever in His presence, He is risen. So look to Him and live. Now there's a second thing I would say. I want to show you something in the text. It's the repeated emphasis on a particular activity that, quite frankly, much of the world snubs as being insignificant. Let me show you. Verse 12. Well, look at verse 11 if your Bible's open. "Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we" what? "Preach." I mean, the word "preach" has now got a negative connotation. Don't preach at me. But that's not the connotation here. No, there's life in this. Verse 12. "Now, if Christ is" what? "Preached that He has been raised from the dead." Look at verse number 14. "If Christ is not risen, then our" what? "Preaching is empty." Verse 15. "We are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ whom He did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise." Talking here about how faith happens. And I think this is so important because under the sound of my voice, there's undoubtedly 1, 2, 3, 10, 15 people who are not believers in Christ. How do you move from being a not believer to being a believer? Okay, Paul says it this way, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. By the way, you could also say listening. So if you're here and you are still on the not of the faith side of things, how do you make this journey? Do you just kind of sort it all out in your mind and wait? No. No, you listen. You listen when somebody like me proclaims Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the grave. And I'll tell you what God does. He takes His Holy Spirit and He gives you the gift of faith. I believe. I didn't earn that. I wasn't smart enough to get that. It's a gift from God. I just believe. So this business of preaching is not inconsequential. In every generation, there are those that would say, oh, we don't need preaching anymore. Let's just all get together and share our opinions about whatever. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to have an ordained guy standing in front of you, but you better have people in your life that proclaim truth to you without any mixture of error. Preaching the Word is central to the faith of the church. So, my question was, He is risen, so what? First answer, He is risen, so look to Him and live. Second answer, He is risen, so listen to Him and grow. Let me say it again. He is risen. Does this make sense to you? If that man named Jesus is alive today, you ought to listen. Does that make sense to anybody besides me? If that dude is alive, and I'm not being improper when I say, if that man is alive, listen to him. Because as surely as faith comes by hearing, growth comes by hearing. Desire the sincere or the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, Peter said. And the Apostle Paul says that all Scripture, all of it, is given so that it might bring you to maturity, completeness. You might be equipped for every good work. You listen. Most of you, but not all of you, know that at Ridgecrest Baptist Church, we have a clearly defined goal. We are making disciples who are striving, help me out, striving. Wow, that's very good. And we've said that there are practices. They don't make us perfect in this life, but they help us make progress. And we identified five of them. But how many of you know if I said you only had one of them, which one it would be? How many of you know which one I've said that would be? It's the Word, my friend. Because if I can get you in the Word and myself in the Word every day, the Holy Spirit of God will teach that Word to us and change our lives. Paul said, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? It happens when the Word of God gets from here into your life. Not just your head, but into your life. So what have I taught? I've taught people to listen slowly. Take this book, and it doesn't matter if you do 10 verses or 10 chapters or one verse, but you listen slowly, and you think about it deeply. You think about it. You meditate on it. And then you go to the Lord in prayer, and you pray about what you just read. And then you get up with the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, and you obey it faithfully. Friend, that is the way that lives get changed. And if He is risen, He is worthy to be heard. And He is worthy to be obeyed. So, He is risen, so what? Listen to Him and grow. Last one. Oh, this one touches my heart more than any of the ones I've said to you, as important as they are. I want to show it to you. Bible open, verse 18. These words shake me to my core. Because it says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, if there's no resurrection, my loved ones are dead and gone. My loved ones. Two brothers, two little boys died in the 1930s. And I never met them, but they're my brothers. My mama's first two died. But if Christ is not risen, they're gone. They're gone. Then my sweet sister Emma Lou, August the 17th, 1983, in a car accident. Life snuffed out in an instant. And if there's no resurrection, then I won't get to see Emma Lou any longer. And you add to that my mom and my dad. And add to that the other members of our extended family and my wife's family. And add to that sweet Dolores Mae Davis that we laid in the ground yesterday. Yesterday. And if there is no resurrection, Dolores is dead and gone. But now Christ is risen. He's risen. And He's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Very few of you will know this. My wife does. I'm wearing Herschel Ray's tie. Herschel Ray. He died several years ago now. Probably maybe 10 to 15 years plus years ago. And when he died, his sweet wife, Vida Ray, Vida brought me some of his ties, and this is my favorite. And I never wear it without thinking about Herschel and Vida, because a few years after Herschel died, we were in chapel on a Wednesday night, and she took ill and died that same night and went to be with Jesus. Now, here's what I'm going to do. One of these days, I'm going to tell Herschel I like his tie. I'm going to say, Herschel, I sure did like that black and white tie that Vida gave to me. And we're going to laugh together. Friend, I'm telling you what. I don't want to live a day without hope. I don't. And the implication of Christ being risen is that we don't have to live without hope. He is risen, so what? Here's the last one. You ready? Number three, He is risen, so long for Him and hold on to hope. Long for Him and hold on to hope. Friend, I'm telling you, the hope that you place in Christ, you'll never be disappointed, because someday you'll see the face of Jesus. Someday you will see those loved ones. Some days we will fellowship again around the great banquet table with Jesus Christ. And someday we will rule with Him on a restored heaven and a restored earth. I'm telling you, good things are ahead for the people of God. So we need to long for Him, and we need to hold on to hope. He is risen. Here's what I've said. He is risen. Look to Him and live. Now listen to me. That means if you've not yet stepped across the line, maybe today you would say with integrity in your heart, you know what? I believe this. I didn't used to believe it, but I believe it right now. And I'm asking you to come on the song that we'll sing. Take one of our counselors by the hand and say, I've come to tell you, I'm a believer now. They'll tell you about next steps, but that's the first step. If you're a Christian, but you're stuck, I'm going to ask you to listen to Him today and grow. You know, for some people that means believer's baptism, because they've not done that. For some people that means membership in a local church, because right now they're not active in a local church, or they've not made a commitment to be part of that local church. For some people it means I'm ready to get off of my sanctified seat and serve my Savior. I'm not gonna be a spectator any longer. I didn't get saved to spectate. I got saved to serve. And you come make an altar here. You may have 15 other commitments. You know, God's still calling people to preach the Word of God. God's still calling people to serve on foreign fields in mission service. God's still calling people to write and to sing and to work in such a way that Jesus shines through them. Whatever God says, whatever Jesus says, do it. Because after all, He is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I offer You this message. Lay it on the altar and just ask You to use it in any way You can. I've been seeking to do my best to proclaim a risen Savior. He is risen. He died for my sins. He was buried. And He rose from the grave and He was seen. And Father, I believe, by the gift of faith, I believe. And because He lives, I'll not ever look to anyone else for life. I'll look to Him. And because He lives, I'll listen to Him and I'll long for Him until I see His face. Oh, Father, call somebody into the family today, the family of God. Call somebody back to faithful living. Work supernaturally in this invitation. As we surrender to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.